Welcome back.
We're here again.
To murder. Mysteries. Whoops. I fucked it up. Wait.
Mysteries.
Murders.
Monsters.
And your mom.
We're the moms. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Julie.
Julie. I'm Julie, question mark.
Because if you say Julia, like, you know, that A just sounds like an So if I slow it down, it's just Julie. That's what, you know what, fuck it, that's my name from now on. You may refer to me as Julie,
Julie, It's like a really bad 80s song in the making.
It is. It's everything I've wanted. Yeah.
So, yeah.
We're back.
Winter won't go away. We had more snow.
But it's gone.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm mad at it. I'm mad that it doesn't stay.
It's gonna snow again.
When?
Tomorrow night.
What? That's not what my thing said this morning.
I don't know. That's what Beza said.
Oh.
I don't. Mine's like much more on the other side, where like that last one, everybody's like, it's gonna be 6 to 10. I'm like, mine's not said more than 3 inches entire time.
Yeah, and I kept telling everybody, but we're not getting anything. So calm the flip down.
I just want it to be nice out. I was standing on my porch this morning, letting the dog out, going, God, I really just want to sit out here.
Like, well, it was warm last night.
It was warm last night.
Which was odd, in the best sort of way. Like,
yeah, it was good, but I'm just ready for it. I know you love snow, but I'm just ready to, like...
It's fine. I don't like the in-between. It either needs to be one or the other. Personally, I hate the flip-flopping back and forth.
Yeah, March is awful for this. Like,
yeah.
You get like a day where it's like, oh my God, spring is here. And then you get a day where you're like, I'm frozen solid.
Spring is sprung. No, winter's
just
still
kidding.
Here.
Just kidding. So, yay to March.
Shaq's still frosting my toes.
Yeah.
That sounds wrong.
That does sound wrong.
Oh.
All right.
Stories. You go first this week.
I'm going first. So, I do have a title. And I could have given it the title that, like, every newspaper article that I read about this case called it, which is The Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to call it, Just Tell Them You're Dying of Cancer and You Can Get Whatever You Want.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Like, it was one of those things where I was researching it and I watched, like, a small documentary. And it kept going back to this, like, and then she said to this person that she had cancer. I'm like, wow, that terminal illness just keeps creeping back up, doesn't it?
Doesn't seem so
anyway,
terminal.
No, it certainly wasn't.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to tell you the story of Dina Thompson. She is British. We'll start there. So when I start saying things like Sussex and North London, you're not confused. I'm not doing a British accent. I promised Bees that I wouldn't because I'm so bad at it. So anyway... She grew up as a pretty successful amateur gymnast, traveled around the world. She was born in 1960, I should start there, sorry, in Hendon, which is in North London. Her father was a prison warder, and her mom was a primary school teacher, and she got into gymnastics, and her dad would be the one that would take her around, and she would compete all over the world. In gymnastics, but you know, didn't really go anywhere with that. So in 1980, she meets her first husband. His name is Lee Wyatt. They go on a blind date, and I've read a bunch of different things and a bunch of different documentaries, and I think he mentions that they went to see an Agatha Christie movie for their first date. He's like, I probably should have been catching on to the warning signs.
Like foreshadowing.
It gets really crazy. So this case is like, it's not, like, anything horrible. Like, I've done way worse cases. But I'm also, like, wow. Like, a lot of wow when I did this case, when I went through this. So, anyway, they get married in 1984. They dated for a couple years. They get married. They have a son named Darren. And I'm just going to say right now, I did do, like, I finished my story and then went, like, it was still hanging on. And I'm like, I don't know anything about this kid. Like, what happened to him? I don't know. Like, I have no idea, so don't ask. Not that anyone gives us feedback, but like...
Yeah, yeah. But if they did,
I don't know what happened to him. And if you find out, let me know. Because I did Google search for him to try and figure out, like... I saw one thing where he, like, that eventually he committed suicide and OD'd. But then I was like, I'm not sure if I believe that, because I couldn't find it anywhere else. So, like, I just don't know what happened to poor Darren. And he doesn't really come up in this story, but they do have a son. Anyway, so Lee had a job doing something, and she convinces him to leave that job and set up a business making soft toys. She's good at sewing and crafting and whatnot.
Okay, so squishies.
Yeah. So, and I tried so, it was in the documentary I watched on YouTube, but I tried so hard to find an image of it, like, just to show you. They made this leprechaun.
Oh, no.
And it's really bad. Like, it's really bad. I'm like, wow. And I know it was, like, 84, but still, like, this is not cool looking. Or it was actually probably later than that, but, because they didn't have Darren until 87. But anyway, it's in the 80s, and it's rough looking. And she goes on to convince Lee that Disney wanted to give them $1 million for this leprechaun.
That doesn't make any sense. But okay.
But anyway. Okay. And I think what's really important to think about, because, okay, so husband one has the craziest story.
Okay.
But husband one, I think, was the youngest when this all happened. The most naive, because, like, he's, like, they're their first loves. You know what I mean? Like, he's just kind of going along, like, all the dumb shit you did for, you know, that first person you loved. I'm over here in my air quotes. So, like, because his is hard to believe. And, I mean, obviously it takes a certain person, but he believed her wholeheartedly. So keep that in mind as I tell you the next bits, because you're going to be like...
I was like, I hope I'm going to go home and tell Jared that.
Because we're already with the leprechaun, which I was like, I almost, like, spit out my coffee when I'm watching the documentary.
Like, how fucking random? A leprechaun? Like, why?
I don't know. So, Disney wants to give them $1 million, and she goes on to convince him that the mafia also wants a cut of the money.
Why?
She said the FBI had given them a protection squad, and that she had documents to back it up, but she wouldn't actually let him open any of the mail because she said that they might be poisoned.
Okay.
So, like, she's protecting him from the mail.
Yeah.
But that's where all these great documents
are
coming.
Is she impervious to the poison herself?
Obviously, from the FBI. So, their business goes bust. I know, you're shocked.
Shocked.
So,
that Disney money just never came through.
She tells Lee that they have to flee. Not that the business went under, that they have to flee because they're in danger.
Lee, we gotta flee.
So, they run away with their son. And she sells their house to pay for it. And this is a quote from him. For 18 months, we went on the run from the mafia. She secretly sold our house to pay for it. Like, crazy. So, at this point, she tells Lee that the protection squad wanted them to return to Sussex. So they go back, and she, like, her parents are there. But she's still telling him all this stuff, and she really just wants him out of the way. Like, he's an inconvenience. So basically, she tells him, unless he leaves, her and Darren will be in trouble. So for 3 years, he traveled all over, and this is a quote from him. For 3 years, I traveled all over the West Country, moving every few months and taking calls from her once a week at a public call box. I was forced to live homeless for years in order to escape the mafia.
Oh my.
He was working, and at some point they interview the people he worked with. He was working in Cornwall at like an arcade type place as a maintenance worker, and he was sending all the money back to her.
Oh no.
So... Now, one of the documentaries that I did watch interviewed her neighbors. Because she just did this, like, in her little neighborhood, right? Like, this would be like, okay, where did Lee go? And, like, she doesn't give anyone any explanation. They're all just like, this is weird. And then a whole bunch of other men just start showing up all the time.
The mafia took him, obviously.
So, like, yeah, so they basically, in the interview, they're like, yeah, men were coming and going all the time. So she gets a job at the Woolwich Building Society, where she meets a man named Julian Webb. He was an advertising guy for, like, the local Sussex newspaper, nothing fancy.
Yeah.
And she, like, he convinced her to model. It's like the, you know, like the JCPenney modeling type thing, right?
Yeah.
You know? And they fall madly in love, and they marry in 1991, even though she's still married.
Yeah, totally legal.
To her first husband. And she's the only one that knows at this point. Like, he has no clue that this... We can't interview him. He might not be here anymore. But we have no way... Like, I'm like, I don't think he had any clue that she was previously married. Or, like, you know, she has a son, but, like, you know...
Yeah.
So he has no clue what's going on. So A couple of things happen. 23,000 pounds go missing from the building society, and she's fired. She tells Julian the reason she was fired is she has cancer. It's terminal. And she needed to take time off, but they wouldn't let her. So she then convinces him to give her 25,000 pounds from his savings.
To do what with? Cure the cancer?
Well, she can't work, so it's her money to live on. Even though they're married. I don't know. Yeah. This money thing starts catching up with her. And the funny thing about it is she blames the money that's missing from the building society on Lee. And doesn't tell Julian any of this. So she tells them that she's been getting threatening letters from Lee. And she makes them. Like, she has them. Like, these threatening letters. And she even says at one point, she goes to the police station and says that he came to the house and attacked and raped her. And, like, she files a report. So, like, at this point, poor Lee has the police and mafia after him at the same time.
Mafia.
And Julian, I guess he traveled for work. He has no clue that any of this is happening. So at some point in 94, Lee comes to the house and he's like, I need an explanation about what in the fuck is going on, yeah. Right? Like, he's finally like, okay, like, this is messed up.
Yeah.
So just after that, in June of 94, as things are starting to maybe catch up with her, mm-hmm. because she can't let Julian know any of this whole thing with Lee, right?
Yeah.
Julian falls ill. Now, I'm going to say this part because it's important later. She tells different people different stories about why he's sick. Like, she tells his mom that he was out in the sun too long, tells other people he was drinking excessively. She tells other people, and it's like the way she tells it. In some cases, he hasn't eaten for days. In some cases, he's been eating. Like, she just makes up all this stuff and tells the neighbors, like, anyone who will listen. I think she's just trying to, like, explain that he's sick.
Right.
So when something happens, they're not so
weird. Okay.
Like, freaked out by it. But anyway, that comes back to kind of come back at her later. So on Julian's 31st birthday, his mom calls and she won't let her talk to him because he's too sick. Later that night, she goes to the neighbor's house and says that Julian's unconscious and she can't wake him. Police and ambulance are called. He's pronounced dead at the hospital. And the neighbor in the documentary tells this story, and it's so fucked up, about how the ambulance was there, and they were like, you can ride up front. And she was like a giddy school kid because she was excited to ride up front in the ambulance.
Even though her husband's possibly
dead. Yeah. And, like, this guy's like, yeah, I was like, that was a weird behavior.
Yeah, it's not appropriate.
Anyway, she goes on to show up at Julian's work the very next day looking for his insurance payout.
Oh, my God.
They determine the death shows not enough evidence of foul play or suicide. She says it's suicide, but there's no evidence of that at all. No note, no anything, which is weird. This is a woman who made up fake letters from the mafia and all this other stuff, and, like, from her other husband. Like, why wouldn't you have faked a suicide note? Like,
well, maybe this is back then, but if your insurance policies are null and void if you commit suicide.
That's true. But she did push that angle. But anyway, it came up with an open verdict, which means it's undetermined. So, which is actually a good thing, and it'll help out later. But basically what they find is that it was an overdose of antidepressants and aspirin.
Okay.
So, she goes to the funeral. Another fun tidbit from the neighbors. She goes to the funeral in, like, a black leather miniskirt with a black leather jacket and, like, sits by herself and doesn't talk to the family or anyone. Just kind of, like, sits by herself. Like, obviously it was weird.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't care what people wear, but if you're suspiciously,
I mean,
your husband dies suspiciously, look normal at the funeral. That's all. This, like, is just survival. This isn't me criticizing black miniskirts. This is me going,
yeah, but black miniskirts are things that you wear when you're going out to the bar for a night.
I'm just saying. I just wanted to be clear. I wasn't telling people what to wear, but I'm also like, if you're.
I am. I'm saying, like, that shit's not appropriate for a funeral. And maybe a longer leather skirt?
Sure.
But, like, that tight
but
pencil
it was like,
short
it
shorts?
It was, like, one of those, like, it was clearly an outfit that people remembered. Like, she wore something very, like.
Which is great
yeah.
for a night out.
Exactly. So, anyways. And after this, again, men coming and going all the time.
To see that short leather skirt.
Yeah. So I did see an interview with one of them called Robert, and there was a couple. They found that she had, they found multiple men that she defrauded in this time period. But anyway, so I'll tell you about this one guy, Robert. He was a landscape gardener, which I'm assuming is just a landscaper mm-hmm. in America. And he wasn't actually that interested in her. Like, they kind of met up, like, they had a mutual friend. And he wasn't really into her, and she, like, took great offense to this. So she went with her terminal cancer thing again. She told him she had cancer. And then she could
get him. You should fuck me because I have cancer, please.
And then she could get him a job at NASA.
Yeah.
Okay, and I forgot to say this at the beginning. She went on her first husband and her went on their honeymoon to Florida.
Okay.
She is obsessed with Florida. This should tell you everything you need to know about her. But anyway, she, like, Florida's her favorite place in the whole world, and all she wants to do is go to Florida.
Okay.
So the whole NASA thing, she claims that she has, you know, connections and can get him a job at NASA.
As a janitor.
Yeah, right? So anyway, like you said, not interested in her, this whole NASA thing. And he agrees to kind of, like, be with her so she doesn't die alone. So
ew.
He takes her to Florida because she makes it seem like she's going to die, like, imminently. Not like, you know what I mean? Not like, you're going to be stuck with me for years and years. Like I'm at death's door, which I'm like, I don't know what people that don't know what death's door looks like.
That was my next thing. Like, does she look healthy? Does she have all of her hair and she's not skinny? And
yeah,
like,
no, she's fine.
She can keep food down, that kind of thing.
So he takes her to Florida and, he said while they were there, they interview him, he's like, I had weird blank times. And he thinks she drugged him. Like, he would wake up and be like, what day is it? And he's like, missing days.
Oh, my God.
And she spends all of his money. Like, all of his money. And at some point, she tells him she's going to New York to testify at a mafia trial. But in reality, she's going back to Britain. And she leaves him there with Florida with no money. He eventually gets arrested for homelessness and deported back to England.
Oh my God.
But the reason she really went back to England was to stand trial for that £23,000 that went missing from the building society.
Oh my God.
So, as I said, she had claimed that Lee was responsible. Yeah. She claimed that Lee and a woman named Christina Duke were stealing money and siphoning into a secret account. Obviously, it comes out that Christina Duke is her. Lee had nothing to do with it. The rape, the letters, the voice messages were all not from him. It was Dina the whole time. This all comes out in the trial. And she's convicted in 1995 and sentenced to 18 months. But she's out after 9.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So, I forgot to say this, but she picks all these men up, like all the comings and goings from those Lonely Hearts letters in the newspaper. It's like the Pina Colada song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Lonely Hearts letters. All right.
There's now a Craigslist for that.
So. I know. And, oh, and all the dating apps. We've been doing these discussions with our students, and I learned so much about dating apps because I don't need them, nor have I ever, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. I just learned that they're not for if you're looking for a relationship, dating apps is probably not going to happen. People are on the dating apps because they just want to hook up.
Yeah, well, and there's dating apps for everything now.
Yeah.
You can be old. They have a 65 and over one.
Yeah.
Like, they have farmer one. Like, for farm. I mean, it's so fascinating. So, anyway. She picks up this other guy. And same stuff, says that she's dying, let's go to Florida, I can help you get a job, like, you know. And he's like, oh my God, like, all this money starts going missing from his accounts, like, you know. It's like the same thing, she's trying this over and over again, and all of a sudden he realizes that he has no money. Like, all of his credit cards are being maxed out, like, she took money out of his savings, so anyway.
Oh my God, how is she doing that? That's
so, like, he, like, just, like, locks her out, and he's like, yeah, no, go away. So anyway, moving on. We're on to the most important, second to most important one. We already talked about the most important. All right, so this is the, in my opinion, the creme de la creme. Like, so she's been doing this, and they find eventually that, like, she defrauded multiple men. I'm giving you handfuls of, like, what I thought were interesting examples, but, like, this was what she did with almost everyone she dated. She would, even if it was, like, not all their money, but, like, thousands of dollars from each one.
Wow.
Okay. So, she meets recently divorced Richard Thompson. They go, like, they're only married for 10 months. So, like, this is one of these whirlwind romances that she's famous for. Mm-hmm. They go to Florida to get married, and she convinces him to fulfill his dream as a deep-sea fishing skipper. Like, and you have to take, like, a whole test, and it's a whole thing, and they interview him, and he talks about it. I don't really care or understand.
Yeah.
But he was really interested. This is something he really wanted to do. So he takes early retirement, and he's, like, studying to take this test. And he said in the interview, he said that he was the only British person that's ever, like, passed it. Like, yeah. He was really excited about it.
Yeah.
So they live in Brighton, or Rustington, near Brighton, which is in Sussex. I know nothing about England, so if that means anything to any of you, then
right.
Good on you. So 10 months in, he passes this test. He thinks they're going to move to Florida.
Yeah.
Like, that's the plan. So she says, I have a surprise for you.
Oh, no.
She runs him a hot bath, which I was like, okay, that's weird. But anyway, then she asks him if she can tie him up. Like, in this, you know, for, like, a sex thing.
In the bathtub? No.
No.
Oh, okay.
In the bedroom. And he's all, like, you know, he thinks this is, like, his reward for doing his thing. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, he's all excited. So she ties him up and blindfolds him.
Oh, no.
And she leaves the room and comes back with a bat and beats the shit out of him. And then attacks him with a knife. He managed to free his hands, fight back, and, like, he was, and there are pictures, he was fucked up. Like, fucked up, okay?
Oh, my God.
Like, he was really beat up. And she, like, he basically gets free enough that he stops her from killing him.
Yeah.
And all she say, like, she's just yelling. She's like, it's all a lie. I spent all your money. So, basically, he can't believe that this just happened. Like, she turned, like, he, this is a quote. I cannot believe what has just happened. This woman has turned into some kind of monster. There was no indication whatsoever till a few minutes previously. Like, this was out of nowhere. At no point did, like, he think that she was the kind of person that was gonna beat the shit out of you with an aluminum baseball bat and a knife.
Oh my God.
So he leaves the house, and the next day an estate agent turns up unexpectedly, explaining that he'd been told by Tom, or no, she leaves the house and he's still there.
Oh, okay.
And this guy shows up the next day to sell the house, saying that he expected that Richard would be in Florida. So so it was obviously, like, this was not just a random thing. Like, this
she
was
set this up.
Planned. Yeah. Yeah. And them going to Florida would have been nobody suspicious of his disappearance.
Right.
Like, nobody would have been like, well, where's Richard?
Yeah.
They went to Florida.
He's deep sea diving.
Right? So he obviously contacts the police, and she's arrested. And police interview all of her former partners, all the people, and this is where they find all the stolen money. Like, oh, yeah, she stole money from me. Oh, yeah, she stole money from me.
What was she doing with it, though?
Just living, like, she's just living life. She doesn't work.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the last time she had a job, she stole $23,000 from them and then went to jail.
Yeah, and I think it's just, like, where's her kid in all of this?
I know. It bugs me so much.
And nobody mentions him.
I know. It bugs me so much. But I'm assuming that they left him out for privacy reasons.
Yeah.
Like, usually if they do a documentary or something like that, they'll leave.
Maybe they changed his name.
And maybe what I found was true. Maybe he did, like, eventually. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. But obviously this is not a great way to grow up.
No.
So, she admits to the police about the money, basically. She's like, yeah, I didn't try to kill my husband, but I took everyone's money. She claims that she had told him that she took all his money and that he attacked her and that she retaliated in self-defense.
Yeah.
Like, there's pictures of this guy and her. Let me just tell you, in self-defense, she's not getting that many blows in.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not happening. The logistics of that. But at the trial, the jury acquitted her of attempted murder.
What?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. She was convicted on 15 counts of deception, but that's the stuff that she had already admitted to, and sentenced to 3 years and 9 months.
Oh, my God.
For the money she stole from Thompson and two other lovers that they were able to, like, pin down for.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, yeah, she, like, I'm sorry, like, I get it. As a female, like, she goes in and says, I was abused. But her history, no.
Yeah.
Like, no. Like,
but not only that, but if he was, like, tied up, well, I guess it depends on what he was tied up with.
I know.
And he's being beaten with a bat, like, that's, like, the struggle in his wrists are going to show that.
I know, I mean, he got free, but, like,
still.
It clearly was planned out. That's my thing. Still. It wasn't like it was... She tied him up first.
Yeah. Anyway. But that's what I mean. Like, if he's being hit with a baseball bat, he's tied up trying to get free.
Yeah.
That's going to create, like, marks on the wrist.
But, yeah. So, anyway. The good thing that comes out of this is detectives...
She gets cancer?
No.
Fuck.
That would have been the ultimate punishment. I mean, if she's still around, we'll get there. Hold on.
Okay.
So... The good thing that did come out of this, because detectives were like, holy fuck, like, we have never investigated someone like this. Because they did the work. They went and talked to every single one of those many comings and goings over the years. Like, talked to Lee. They found out what she did to him. Like, the detectives were like, what the fuck? So, they opened Julian's case back up.
Oh, cool.
So, the question... They question her about it, too. And my favorite part is she just says she doesn't remember anything about that time. Because, you know, your husband died. You don't remember anything about that time. That's
okay.
That is her standing, like, story. I don't remember anything about that time. Like, they ask her specifics, like, you know.
What'd you wear to the funeral?
Right, just anything. And she remembers nothing about that time.
Oh, my God.
So they exhume the body. And they do find higher levels of drugs than they originally thought. In his body. And they also are interviewing other witnesses. And then one of them does come forward, who was a friend of Thompson's, who probably went, oh my God, my friend is a psycho and tried to kill this guy.
Yeah.
Came forward to say that she had told her that she had given him an overdose of drugs in his hot curry.
Oh my God.
But the case was circumstantial. They don't have any, like, concrete evidence. But basically what they think happened is they, that he... He really liked hot curry, and it was speculated that she used that to mask the taste of the antidepressants, and then there was ground aspirin in his drink.
Oh.
And that's how he was killed.
Jeez.
So, anyway, she's convicted, 2003, of this murder. She's sentenced to life, but in England, that doesn't mean life. She was sentenced to run 16 years, so... She wouldn't be eligible for release until 2019. The judge at her 2003 trial described her as utterly ruthless and without pity. Her first husband... Oh, that's the motive. I'm sorry. I put that in here and I already said it. The motive was that Lee had come to the house and she was worried that the two would meet and everything would fall the fuck apart. So that's why they think that's why she killed Julian. So anyway, she was dubbed the Black Widow in the press. Everyone called her the Black Widow. And in 2003, it was reported that she was being investigated about another disappearance of another of her previous partners called Stoyan Kostov. This was in Belarus? No, Bulgaria. So, as I said, they tried to trace all of her former lovers, which must have been a task, in order to establish if she had committed potentially criminal acts against further victims. So they said, we cannot rule out the possibility that other partners have been injured in some way. So it was discovered that this Kostov, who she dated in the 70s and 80s, has been missing since he dated Thompson.
Oh my gosh.
She was training as a gymnast in Bulgaria, and in 2010... there was more interest, like, they kind of, like, started looking into it again, and a new probe was launched, but they couldn't find him. And, like, they think something happened, but without a body or anything, they really can't do anything. So he's, as of 2021, he's never been found. So, I mean, it's potential that she killed someone else before this.
Wow.
So in 2022, April 2022, last year, the parole board announced that they would consider her case for release and publish their decision that May. So, and it was revealed at that point that she was already being held in open prison, meaning she had day release.
Oh.
Yeah, so, Sean McDonald, the officer who led the investigation, expressed his concern at her potential release, stating, I believe she will reoffend. She won't be able to stop herself. She has no remorse, Mm-mm. But will be the model prisoner and say all the right things. Her potential release concerns me and everybody who's been involved with her. Her former husband, Richard Thompson, that she tried to kill, said that she definitely tried to kill me, and they proved that she murdered her second husband. So she would have been a serial killer if she had been successful in killing me.
Yeah.
And, you know, God knows what else she's done. And I guess, like, they didn't tell him about the parole hearing. Like, he wasn't there. Like, at least that's what he says, and I don't have anything to verify that, but he wasn't there because in May, last May, she was released.
What the fuck?
She's out. Roaming around London. I mean, she's an old lady now, but watch out, people. She's gonna go to a retirement home and, like, you know.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, how is she living? Like, she's never worked. She doesn't have any money. Okay. How is she taking care of herself? Just saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's paying for that? In England, do they give you, like, a severance when you leave? Like, do they give you a job? Like,
yeah.
Homegirl ain't got no skills other than lying and stealing.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's so crazy. I just think it's crazy that she was released. Like,
yeah.
That's her now.
I mean, she still looks young enough. Look how happy she looks.
Oh, I know.
Like, just what a smug
Actually,
bitch.
Actually, no, that was her.
Yeah, she's got, like, that smug bitch face.
Oh, yeah, totally.
She wasn't even that pretty in the 80s.
No, I know. That's her with Julian. Their wedding.
Yeah. Like, she's nothing to write home about.
So I did... Okay, so the one of the interviews in the YouTube documentary that I watched, the guy was like... He's like, she... Like, you got... Okay, let's be honest. He stayed with her. They say it was the terminal illness, but it was really her sexual stuff.
Yeah.
She liked to, like, do it in public, like, to thrill. Like,
she was kind of a freak. That's cool.
Yeah, like, flashing herself all the time in places. Like,
but it's also smart
being a certain way... But, I mean, like, at the same time, how legit is that? Or is she just doing that to make them stay interested enough to get their money?
Exactly.
Like, but I do think that that's part of why probably they stayed. She probably figured out pretty quickly that, you know, she
Sex is a weapon.
She was a gymnast.
I is flexible. So,
that's probably how her ad started in The Lonely. Former gymnast.
Former gymnast also likes to be bendy in the bedroom.
Exactly. So anyway.
Lives in Sussex.
Come to my house where my son will be and my husband will be gone. Yeah. So anyway.
Married woman likes to limelight as a sexual gymnast. I'm doing it in a British accent.
I just still can't believe that she got... I mean, I'm glad they got her for Julian, but I can't believe she was acquitted for attempted murder.
I don't either.
Because if she had both of them, then she probably wouldn't be out.
Right.
And I mean, it's not even like she didn't have a record. Yeah. She'd already served like 9 months in prison.
I don't. Or why'd they even let her go on? Like, why'd they let her out on parole? I don't understand.
I don't either.
Like, that's... I just don't understand. I don't get it.
But, yeah. So... If you see anything in the news about a Dina Thompson.
Or a missing man and lots of money.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my story for today.
All right. Well, mine is just as depressing about how, like, the theme today is how the legal system sometimes fails us. So, all right. Mine just says title. I didn't have a title because I couldn't think of anything fucking clever.
I didn't really have it. I was like, I wrote Black Widow, and I was like, that's so lame. So, like, then I'm like, just tell them you have cancer.
All right. Hold on. Let me do a little stretch, and, like, the world can hear me crack.
Okay. That sounds great.
All right. So, I've been watching the Playboy murders for the last couple weeks, and I'm sure this is eventually going to be a future story. I watched this week's episode, and because I was knitting and too lazy to change the channel, I just let the next show play, because I have Discovery Plus, and it has, like, the ID channel and everything, so it just kept going. And
I know about that.
All right, so I left it. And it was a show called Death by Fame, and it was the story of Amy Harwick. So, I watched it, and in the end, I was honestly just pissed off, and I still am. So, and really, there's no real reason for me to be pissed, I guess, other than, like, I can't believe this shit's still happening. But I felt, I don't know, I guess something personal, but there's no logical reasoning behind the way that I feel other than that I have this feeling and it makes me angry. So here's the story in life and the death of Amy Hardwick. So Amy, oh, and she's also, like, this is the other thing, she's a PA girl.
Oh.
So Amy Nicole Hardwick was born May 20th, 1981. She was adopted and she grew up in Lansdale, PA. And this flipped me out.
I know where Lansdale is.
I had to Google this because she graduated from North Penn High School in 99. And I was like, wait, no. North Penn's in Blossburg. But there's another one in Lansdale. Yeah. So it was a little trippy because I was like, wait a minute. Okay. So growing up, Amy was said to be quote unquote different, which in a small town just translates to mean that you have a personality that doesn't fit into whatever the normal of that small town is. I was also different. I still am. She wore a lot of black, was into heavy metal, and I guess, you know, the term goth could be used as a category to place her in.
What year was this?
This was in the 90s.
So she wasn't different. There was a million of them.
Maybe not in Lansdale.
Oh, Lansdale, yeah, no.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
Lansdale is not as small as town as, like, it's not like here.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
No, it's suburb-y. Like,
is it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where it is. I've never heard of it.
It's not. I'm not discounting it, but I think they made more of it than it probably is. Like, trust me when I tell you that she was not the only one.
Right. Well, no, she wasn't the only one, but so in 2001, she moved to Los Angeles, and one of the things that her friend said that stuck out to him was that, you know, unlike most people who move there to pursue a career in acting or just to become famous, that was actually not her goal. She just decided to move to Los Angeles because she felt the small town of Lansdale wasn't allowing her to grow into her full potential, which is probably true.
Oh, yeah.
But however, when she got to Los Angeles, Amy enrolled into a university pursuing a degree in family psychology. She also did many things during this time for work, such as bartending, go-go dancing at various clubs around town. And eventually all of this would span into being in, like, music videos or just any videos, modeling for various magazines and catalogs. She was also in Playboy at one point in time, so that's what I mean by it's probably going to be a Playboy murder eventually.
When there was music videos.
I know.
So exciting.
And the Playboy murders has been picked up for a second season, so.
I'm going to have to watch it. I haven't watched it yet.
The last one was a stretch. I'm just going to throw that out there. I didn't like it because the story is so cut and dry, and then, like, to make up for that 45-minute time frame, you just have the same four people repeating each other.
Oh,
and
I
it
hate
was
that.
Very annoying.
I
so,
hate that.
But the rest of the episodes are really great, cool. And I think some of them are good stories.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's fine. She was also a fire dancer, and Playboy would often hire her to do said fire dances at their parties. So, yeah. You know, like, she made good money anyway. All of this helped her pay her way through college, and she actually paid in cash. She would eventually go on to get her master's in clinical psychology from Pepperdine, which is a, like, private Catholic university. And if that wasn't enough, she went even further and she got her PhD becoming Dr. Amy Hardwick. Like, holy shit, girl, way to hustle. And that's kind of what her friend said about her, is that she was always working. You know, she was going to school during the day. She was doing all these jobs mostly at night. And, you know, she was getting it done. So during all of this, she was in and out of several relationships, which for LA shouldn't seem too odd to anyone. There were a few notable guys, such as Crispin McGlover, and if you don't know who he is an actor who's been in Charlie's Angels, The Doors, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, and The People versus Larry Flint. Dave Navarro, who I read, there was a Rolling Stone article, denies that he ever dated her, but whatever. There's a funny story about
that's
him,
weird.
Too. I'll get back to that. But Dave Navarro is a guitarist for Jane's Addiction, Audioslave, and he's also the host of Ink Master. And then Marilyn Manson. During this time, before some of these people, she meets a man named Gareth Pursehouse. Gareth was a photographer and a self-taught coder/computer wizard and a not-so-good fucking comedian. Like, they did a clip of one of his stand-ups, and it's just... it's just bad. Anyway, Amy.
Awesome.
Yeah, Amy and Gareth met during a photo shoot that she was modeling for, and they eventually started dating. Other friends state that he was very clearly into her from the moment that they met, and that at the time she was really just looking for someone who she could feel safe with,
who would take care of her and wouldn't cheat on her. All, you know, all the normal things that people want, you know, in a relationship when they're falling in love.
Well, and if you're dating famous people, that's probably hard to find.
Yeah, yeah.
Or harder to find, because, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, according to, just remind me to go back to Dave Navarro.
All right.
Like, okay. According to her friends, there seemed to be a lot of red flags right from the beginning. And personally, I hate to say, like, standard red flags, but it really was. There were things such as him being incredibly jealous, especially of men, which Amy had a lot of male friends. And anytime Amy was in a room with other men, Gareth would grab her and obnoxiously start kissing her in an effort to tell everyone that, you know, she's mine and, you know, basically marking his territory, so to speak. Some friends even noted that they never actually saw Amy while she was dating him. They think that he was intentionally trying to keep her isolated from the majority of her friends. But they dated for like a year and a half, I think almost 2 years. So over this time, the signs started to become more obvious to everyone. One of Amy's closest friends, Robert Coslin, who is in most of all of the documentaries, states that Amy and Gareth would get into these yelling fights. And during one of these fights, Amy threw a pillow at Gareth. And in response, he walked up to her, he hit her, and then bashed her head against the floor. And after this, he did, you know, the immediate, I'm so sorry, love bomb, you know, I love you, I'm so sorry. Eventually, the abuse became severe enough that Amy started to document what was happening. And there, I should also say, this whole episode is like a fucking trigger warning. Like, it's about abuse. It's about, like, domestic violence. So, I should have said that right at the beginning. My bad.
I guess mine was too, but...
Yeah. So, there are several photos of her with black eyes, and there's even one with her, like, her nose is all fucked up and had been bleeding. In 2012, Amy had finally decided to end the relationship, you know, feeling that, you know, it couldn't be salvaged. The timeline here is a little interesting because in 2011, even though they say that they broke up in 2012, but in 2011, she obtained the first restraining order against him. But because she didn't show up in court, they let it go. But then in 2012, when they finally broke up, she filed a second restraining order against him. And it's probably because the relationship was, like, done. So part of one of the orders, you know, obviously Amy has to document her accounts. And it states, Gareth Pursehouse... And again, trigger warnings, forced me to the ground, covered my mouth to prevent my yelling. He kicked me. And mid-May, there were multiple arguments in which Gareth Pursehouse choked me, suffocated me, pushed me against the walls, kicked me, dropped me to the ground with force, restrained me, slammed my head into the ground, and punched me with a closed fist. There was another account of an argument that took place inside of a car that he was driving. And in the argument, he started hitting her while, like, you know, like forcibly, like, hitting her and slamming her face into the window. And she asked to, like, you know, like, stop the car, let me out. He did let her out. However, he pushed her from the car as it was moving and left her on the freeway. And I already said Amy filed two restraining orders. Anytime afterwards, while texting or conversing with her friends, she wouldn't say his name. She would just say my stalker in fear that he was in some way tracking her because he was very into computers.
Right.
He knew computers. That was the idea behind that. So after this relationship ended, Amy attempted to move on with her life and with it her career that she's worked very hard for. She applied for a job within a prison. However, somebody sent the prison nude photos that Amy had shot for Playboy years prior, and she was not chosen for this job. And so obviously she was upset because she thought, fuck, you know, I've done this thing in the past and this is going to continue to haunt me. And because she at the time was just a family practitioner.
Yeah.
And she hadn't yet found the niche that she would be known for. And she thought that basically her career was over. And one of her friends, I guess, jokingly talked about sex therapy. And that's exactly what she did. So she pursued her next degree and she went back to school and she got a degree specializing in human sexuality. Her focus was to help especially women, but those who have been working in the sex industry or harmed by it, to help them navigate their way from it to better their lives. And one of the people who is part of this, like a lot of the organizations that work with, you know, like porn stars, sex workers, one of the things that they mentioned about Amy was that unlike a lot of other therapists, she never told them to stop what they were doing.
Right.
She just worked with them
to find a healthy way to continue to do it.
Right. And then maybe, you know, and if that, you know, navigated to them just end, like, stopping what they were doing, that was fine. But she never was like, here's a hard line. This is bad for you. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Which I think was probably important. So, she became very successful, and she became a published author, releasing a book called The New Sex Bible for Women, and she even opened her own private practice. She was in magazines again, she was featured on TV shows, and she was just at the time very, very successful. But Gareth still wasn't letting go and hounded mutual friends to send her photos, links to sappy songs, and always wanted to know what she was doing and who she was doing it with. These friendships with him would eventually absolve, and the friends stopped being mutual, with them cutting ties with Gareth. At one point, Amy's apartment had been broken into. When she got home, she called her friend and explained to them that her house had been broken into, noting that photo albums were missing, some of her pictures were on the walls, but they were upside down. And she also was like, my computer's not working, and it's because somebody had wiped the hard drive. Mm. So, again, computers, who knows how to wipe a hard drive?
So how much time has passed, though? Like, obviously, she went back to school, got another degree.
I think a couple years.
Okay.
Yeah.
It would have. Okay. I'm just trying to.
So 2012, so we're probably in, like, 2015.
Okay.
2016, yeah. So we're going to fast forward a bit to, like, 2016, yeah. Amy starts dating Marilyn Manson. One night on her birthday, as the story goes, he was supposed to take her to dinner at 6 o'clock. And then her friend jokes, well, he doesn't get out of bed by 6. So she told Manson that she would go out to a party without him and she would have a good time, which she did. And it was there that she met Drew Carey, who, for those of you who don't know, he's a comedian and then eventually became the host of The Price is Right. As she mentioned to him that her boyfriend had basically stood her up on her birthday, so he's like, well, you should be with people that aren't going to stand you up on your birthday. And he invited her and her friends to go to Disneyland, because Disneyland is in California. And the next week, that is exactly what they did. The two from there started dating, and soon they moved in together. And then in Paris in 2017, he proposed to her. So now we're in 2017. So 1, 2, 3, 4.
So it's like been 5 years.
Yeah. The couple was trying to keep their engagement on the down low, but due to a former friend of Amy's who was now cyber stalking her, started posting stories online that weren't true, to the point where
another friend is stalking her?
Yeah, she had a falling out with a friend, and the friend just went online and basically just started cyberbullying her and putting, like, just saying a lot of things that weren't true about her. And then the National Enquirer of all magazines,
of course,
was going to post an article shedding light on these false stories by the said ex-friend. Yeah. She also got a restraining order against this girl as well. So the couple announced their engagement on The Price is Right, which put this relationship under a microscope, especially due to their age gap, which I personally don't think is a problem because she's almost 40.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, I mean, like, she went to high school when I did, so, like, in that time, like, in that, yeah, like, I mean, like, just,
so,
sorry,
it's okay.
I was like,
at the time, stop. Amy was 36 and Carrie was 59. She's almost, okay, if she were 25 and he was almost 60, okay, yeah, I get that. That's a little strange, but she is almost 40. That'd be like me dating Brad Pitt.
Yeah,
I don't see a fucking thing wrong with that.
It's not that big a deal.
Like, okay.
They're both mature. She's had enough life experience at this point to understand what she wants in a relationship.
Right.
And if that's Drew Carey, then that's Drew Carey.
Right.
And good for him. And her.
And sorry, but, like, women, when you get closer to your 40s, are a lot harder to fucking manipulate. So it doesn't work like that. Anyway, but most people called her a gold digger and other things, despite the fact that she had a PhD, her own career, her own practices, was making her own money. But, you know, these are just the easy things to say to people.
Well, that's Hollywood. That's how Hollywood works, which is what I think is also problematic.
Like, yeah, it is. But there was a lot of, like, cyberbullying, and eventually in 2018, what happened is she was in the home that she shared with Drew Carey, and there were trespassers on the property trying to break in. She didn't know who they were. She just called the cops. They never found anybody because the people fled before they got there. but it really shook her, and that on top of all the cyberbullying, and I guess there were other problems within the relationship, she called off the engagement, which was a bummer.
It is, because it sucks, because it sounds like, I mean, I'm other problems in the relationship, which probably stemmed from all of this.
Yeah.
It sucks, because, like, they probably, you know, could have, like, I'm sorry, famous people in relationships, like, I feel like that's one of those things that you trade off.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In a,
I do think that we have an unhealthy obsession with celebrities in relationships. Like,
oh yeah, we make names for it and do all kinds of dumb shit.
So, like, I'm not the biggest Henry Cavill fan anymore, let me just say, but Henry Cavill is now dating somebody. I don't exactly remember her name. I just remember she had, like, a My Sweet 16 episode on MTV. She's now, like, a CEO of one of these movie companies, but she's a Nepo baby. What it comes down to is she's a Nepo baby, and that's how she got her position. Either way, that's not the point. But when they started dating, and there's like a 5-year age gap between the two. They're both in their 30s. The fucking internet just went off on this girl. And one, you don't know who she is. You don't really know her background. Who gives a shit if she's a Nepo baby? Welcome to fucking Hollywood.
I know, right?
And not only...
Oh, that's not just in Hollywood.
Right. That's just, like, life.
That's the world.
Yeah. But, like, it got so bad. And, you know, like, I commend Henry for, like, doing this. I don't know why I call him Henry, because I, like, Mr. Cavill, whatever. But I don't know him either.
It's my best friend, Henry.
You know, we tie. We play WoW together. But he finally was like, this is enough, guys. Like, this is enough.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. But that's every... And, you know, I feel like it's only with men when they date women.
Yeah. No, and I mean, like, but I think what I'm saying too is that it's more than just that, like, yes, we do this as society, but I think that it's pretty clear that this is what happens. So if you make the decision, like, I'm going to become a famous actor or actress,
right?
Like, this is something you may have to trade off.
Like, yeah.
It's not like this is...
Or deal with.
It's not like going into it, you should be unaware that this is what it's like, because it's pretty clear that this is what it's like.
Right.
Famous people come with this additional baggage. And I'm just saying, in general, like, I just think it's kind of, it's fucked up is what it is.
It is. But that's, and like, and I get what you're saying. I just still think that as a society of people in whole, like, why can't you look at yourselves? And if you're that person who's writing negative shit about people whom you don't know, why are you doing that? Like, yeah, but, like, do something better with your life.
That's never gonna stop.
I understand that. But that also makes me just very, like, just sad. Like,
oh, yeah. Humanity, no, like, I'm not defending, like, that part of it. Yeah. I'm just saying that that's, like, that's, I mean, honestly, like,
I also think that
that's the least harmful thing, in my opinion, that happens.
Yeah.
Like, we could talk about a million other things that internet trolls and people perpetuate that are way more harmful and worse.
Yeah.
And we're never going, like, this is our reality. And the best thing, I'm just saying, you just have to be aware that this is the reality we now live in. Yeah. And it's disgusting.
It is. Especially when, like, they feel the need to get photos of, like, their children and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, children are born into it, but they are not part of it, and they should be excluded, because it would be no different than a motherfucker on the street trying to take pictures of my kids and posting them online. Hell no. Like, no.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Sidebar.
Tangents. Okay. No more digression. So, on January 17th in 2020, Amy attended a panel about mental health at an exhibit called XBiz, which is an adult industry business conference and an award show. Amy had previously been working with a group called Pineapple Support, which is a sex work positive organization for those in the adult industry. While on the red carpet, Amy, and here's the other part. This is the part about, like, just like the universe and how fucking shit works. So Amy wasn't initially invited to speak at this award show. The person who was the actual representative for Pineapple Support backed out at literally the last minute.
Oh, and they called her and said, hey, could you come do this?
Yeah. And because that happened, it opened the floodgates for, I feel, everything else that happened. And it just, in retrospect, it kind of, like, just blows your mind, because had she not been there, this may not have happened.
Wow.
So, okay. So while on the red carpet, Amy noticed a photographer covering the event, and that person was Gareth. Sadly, it wasn't a happy situation, and Gareth went fucking nuts when he saw her. He started screaming at her, you're a hypocrite, you broke my heart, called her a ton of names, like things, you know, calling her a bitch, and then even started reading text messages from 2012.
8 years later.
This was the first time Amy had seen him in almost a fucking decade. And sadly, this was in front of everyone in a room that wasn't so big. So in order to de-escalate the situation, Amy tried to do what she thought was the right thing and took Gareth out to a bench, which was still in view of the security, trying to calm him down and going into what she would say was her therapist mode.
Gareth, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that she would do that.
Yeah. Gareth was witnessed as still being in distress and irate and, like, flailing his arms around. Eventually, Amy would make her way inside. He approached her at the table that she was sitting at. And again, the two went outside and, you know, she was just trying to calm him down. This incident, you know, basically rattled Amy, and she took measures in her home to try and keep herself safe. She changed the lock, she purchased mace, she had a new roommate, which was a male, who she, you know, and she thought would make her feel safe, and I believe she got some sort of a security system. She did not go to the police for this incident. And then there was I don't remember who he was, but he was interviewed, and there's a couple documentaries about this that I watched and read, like, a handful of articles. But he was basically saying that if you're in a stalker situation, which he feels what was happening here was clear and defined as 1000% a stalker situation, do not engage with your stalker. Even if you are a good person, you think that you can calm them down, all you're doing in the eyes of your stalker is giving them an open doorway to walk through to continue to harass you.
I had the same thought when you were reading the last part. I was like, honestly, the fact that she went and sat with him was the worst thing that
absolute
she could have done.
Yeah.
She should have just called security and said, please get him out of here.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That is exactly, like, and I get from being her being a therapist and doing the kind of work she does, she probably thought
she could help.
She could make this better.
Right, but yeah.
But I had that exact thought. Yeah. It's so funny. I'm like, yeah, no, that's no, don't do that.
So for anyone listening, if you're ever in a stalker situation, do not engage with them. Do not.
Nope.
Because it will only make things worse. So she told her friends, you know what had happened, and that, you know, it really scared her because he was just kind of bonkers. So she decided that she was going to share her phone location with her friend Robert, so he always knew where she was. And then she went even as far as to call her parents and request from them, in the event that she died, an open casket and an elaborate headstone wherever she may be buried. And then she also told her friend, if anything happens to me, it's Gareth. So she was aware that things were
bad. Okay, but she still hasn't gone to the police.
No, she didn't go to the police.
That's problematic, too.
Yep. Less than 1 month later, February 14th, is Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Amy started her day going on a hike with one of her friends. Then they went to a cafe together. She actually reached out to Drew asking if he would like to meet up with her sometime because, you know, their friends say that the two very much still loved each other and that they missed each other. So I think she was trying to at least start to reconcile some of this relationship, possibly. Amy celebrated Valentine's Day with her girlfriends, calling it Galentine's Day. Later that night, Amy had plans with friends to attend a burlesque show performed by her friend known as Miss Tosh, and the show started around 7 p.m. Amy's roommate at the time noted that while she was gone, I don't think he realized that she was gone, but he heard the sounds of something like a plate smashing from upstairs, and he just kind of thought it was her. So he went back to sleep. Around 9 p.m., Miss Tosh invites Amy to the after party, which Amy declines in lieu of going to have tea with her friends. Amy and her friends go to a place called Nomad, and they are there until about 12:18 a.m. Around 1 a.m., Amy texted her friend. So she gets home around 1 a.m. She pulls into her driveway, and she texted a friend that she'd been with that night saying, send me pics on the green couch. And this message was sent at 1:02 a.m. Amy goes inside. That's when her roommate hears Amy screaming and the sounds of bodies falling on the floor above and muffled screams. He goes to try to call 911, but he can't find his phone. So he attempts to kind of go to the stairs and just shout, because he's a man, you know, shout loudly at whomever is up there to get them to stop. Which is, this is the part that I think is a little odd, because, like, you should have went in and intervened.
Also, where's your phone?
I don't, yeah, right.
Like, seriously, I'm sorry, this is now time?
Yeah.
You can't find your phone.
I mean, to be fair, I do this shit all the time.
I know.
I don't sleep with my phone. I don't take it in the bedroom.
Because she told you that, like...
I think it was part of it. And you were aware, so,
yeah. You were aware that this was going on. We just talked about how, like... You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like...
So he what happens then is he runs outside for help. He gets trapped in the courtyard. He scales the metal fence. He cuts himself while doing it. And he went to three different neighbors' houses, knocking on the doors, asking for help, and nobody fucking answered. He finally sees somebody walking up the street, and they call for help, and this is 1:14 a.m. So it's been, like, 10 minutes, if that. When the police finally arrive, they find Amy lying below her balcony, and the balcony is like 20 feet up from her, and she's struggling to breathe. She is taken to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, and she dies there at 3:26 a.m. Like, what the fuck? So, when investigators look inside her home, they notice that there's blood smeared across the bedroom door. The French doors to her balcony are shattered. She had been wearing like a long rosary bead that night, and the beads from that rosary were found in her TV room, through her bedroom, and to the balcony. So like it had been ripped and just, mm-hmm. So it was like a trail. You could see like her path. There was also a syringe filled with a liquid. The liquid would later be identified as nicotine, which for those of you who don't know, if injected, could be lethal.
Yep.
Amy's autopsy showed defensive wounds on her arms and hands. She had broken vessels around her eyes called petechiae, bruises around her neck, blunt force injuries to her head and torso suffered by the fall from the balcony, and wounds of manual strangulation, which is why she has the petechiae in her eyes. The wounds showed a combination of defense and assault type wounds suggested to an altercation, and the manner of death was ruled a homicide. And if you ever watch the documentaries, you know, they have like the, you know, like the body, you don't see the body, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like the body, like a body drawing. And then like whoever's doing the autopsy circles and just like, she has wounds everywhere. Like, and there are more things, like there were several things that like were broken. Just, it was a fucking fight. Like, that's the only one thing that I can say about this, is that, like, Amy fucking fought as hard as she could, but she was a tiny woman.
Yeah, I still can't believe that guy didn't come downstairs. I'm still stuck.
Go upstairs, because it was, like...
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, like, yeah. Something. Like,
yeah, that's the I'm part sorry, that I like, don't I'm not trying to be,
like, obviously, like, he's but maybe scared of himself, but, like...
You're still a man. Like, I don't care if you are a feminine man. You are still a man, and you have that fucking testosterone in your body that can overpower another man that a woman does not have. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a bitch. I doubt that that person will ever listen, and I don't even know who this person is because they don't name him at all, and well, nor does he do the interviews.
Which I wouldn't... I mean, I'm sure he's asked to be out, like, to stay out of it.
Because, right. Because like, that was a shit decision on your part. And yes, maybe you would have went upstairs, and maybe you would have accidentally been stabbed with nicotine. I don't know.
Maybe try to find your phone harder and call 911 before,
or
like...
just get a fucking weapon. Like, anything. Intervene somehow, but running outside screaming for help is, like, I don't know. Anyway, you could have just screamed from the fucking balcony, I guess, you know, but anyway. So her friend Robert was called to the police station, and he's like a key person in all of these interviews. When asked who he thought could have done this, he instantly said Gareth, as well as a handful of her other friends who were later interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Gareth was then arrested and charged with murder, but his bail was set for $2 million, which, you know, if you have a bail, you only have to pay like 10% of it. So he posted his bail and he was released.
$2 million's still high though.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good job. Like, he was working these events.
I'm just saying, $2 million isn't, that's not low for bail. Like,
yeah.
That's a high bail.
So when someone.
High set bail. Listen to me. I can't talk.
So but, when someone posts bail, they have to agree to be nowhere near trains, airports, bus stations, borders, anywhere that basically may make it look like they were trying to escape.
Yes.
But less than 24 hours after posting said bail, Gareth was rearrested outside of the Los Angeles airport. So this time he was arrested without the bond.
Yeah.
Period. All right. So he was arrested with charges with one account of first-degree murder and first-degree residential burglary, along with special circumstance allegation of lying in wait. That means he could face the death penalty if he's convicted. Here's the keeping our fucking fingers crossed. Okay, so during the investigation... of Amy's apartment, DNA was found on the busted French door handles. the living room floor, and also underneath Amy's fingernails. All of the samples matched that of Gareth's. The syringe that was found with the nicotine, they investigated Gareth's apartments, and there were several other syringes filled with the same liquid inside of one of his fucking dresser drawers. There is also a security video from a neighbor's camera in the video, and it shows a man that looks a lot like Pursehouse breaking into Amy's apartment. Her friend Robert was also able to access her computer, and he found an email that Amy had wrote basically to herself in regards to the incident at the X-Biz show, and it says, "He started screaming, 'You shouldn't be here. Why are you here?' He was sobbing. He was distorting his face up and shaking violently. It terrifies me that he's been obsessed with me for 9 years. He's malicious, highly intelligent, and focused on harming me." His defense attorneys, which I will will tell you, one of them is a woman, and one of them is a man. And they are arguing. This is their fucking argument. None of the evidence, and all of the evidence that they have, doesn't prove murder. And it doesn't prove that he was there. How does it not? This woman had no contact with him for almost a fucking decade, and magically he's like, boom, he's there, and she's dead? Whatever. Okay, sorry. This is the part that pisses me off. So, they say he wasn't there, but they say if he were there, which they deny that he was, he could have just been there to talk to Amy, and she fell off the balcony by accident. Really? Really? Just fucking, whoops, slipped and fell. I've lived in this house forever, and I've never once fallen off the balcony.
I'm surprised they didn't try to blame the roommate.
Like, so Janet Santizo, which is his female attorney, states that the DNA evidence could not be dated, and neither could scratches and bruises found by police on Pursehouse, and questioned if the DNA evidence could have been contaminated. DNA dating? Are you, like, you think that this woman has fucking his DNA under her fingernails for just 10 years? Just because? Okay, I'm sorry, this pisses me off. Okay. His other attorney states that testimony that Pursehouse appeared emotional and distraught when he met her outside the award show does not prove anything other than that he was trying to talk to her, and there was no evidence he ever made a threat of harm, and no evidence of homicidal intent, and no evidence that she was thrown from a balcony. How about the fact that she was just... I mean, I think her autopsy suggests that, no, she definitely was fucking thrown. Because there was, like, if you fall... I mean, 20 feet is pretty bad and you might break something. She was thrown. Like, there was force behind that. Whatever. Anyway, there was also... What I didn't talk about was, like, in the past, when the stalking started, he was doing other things. And he told her that, you know, this is going to get much worse. And then that's when the restraining orders kicked in and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, she was so bad that when she would leave her house, she was worried that he would kill her cat. So she would give her cat to other people.
Right. Well, I think the biggest struggle with this case is that it was, like, 10 years from when he, like, they broke off their relationship. And mm-hmm. she, for 10 years, didn't have any, like, he never came to the house. Yeah. He never, like, he didn't pursue the stalking over that time. And he could have easily found her because she was dating famous people. Mm-hmm. Like, so, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm not defending it. I'm saying that that's why it seems like...
But the house.
Right.
The house that she lived in when she died was not the house that he was ever in.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree with all that. I'm just saying that I'm thinking that, like, from the mindset of, like, it's interesting how, like, he's, like, doesn't do anything for 9 years. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden sees her and, like, like, that's kind of weird. That's all. Like,
but he was there. And if I had to guess, it probably didn't go the way that he thought it would. Yeah. And
no, I agree with you. I'm not saying he didn't do it. I just think that it's like, one thing if he had been stalking her for this entire time.
What about
time.
The fucking syringe of nicotine?
Yeah, that's pretty
fucking so,
crazy.
So, as of now in 2023, there is no trial date set for this case. Possibly the pandemic has caused a huge delay in this trial, but his attorneys, I personally feel, are throwing everything they have to keep second-guessing what the plaintiffs have to make their case. It's been 3 years since Amy was murdered, and it took less than 10 minutes for the altercation to occur from start to finish that ended her life. And in 2022, Amy's parents made a statement that says, as we approach the, this again, this was at the time, yeah. approach the 2-year anniversary of Amy's death, we remain thankful for the unwavering support of our extended family and friends. Many of Amy's close friends communicate with us regularly, attend court hearings, and update us on those proceedings. We are very grateful. So, as was Amy's wish right before her murder, she asked for an elaborate headstone. However, where she is currently buried, which is in Pennsylvania, does not allow headstones. Like, you get the plaques that are on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. So her friend Robert and many of her friends has since started a memorial project. And the goal of this project is to fulfill her wishes in creating a life-size bronze statue, which will be installed in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. It will also stand as a memorial dedicated to women who have lost their lives to domestic violence. The fundraiser is currently live under a GoFundMe, and to find it, you just search GoFundMe, and it's the Dr. Amy Hardwick Memorial Statue.
Okay, so they haven't had a trial yet.
Hold on. Not done. I'm almost done. But this is where the Dave Navarro thing comes in.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Is that he posted a picture. Somebody made a sign, and it was like a Banksy spray paint of mm-hmm. her, and they put it near the on the road where the Hollywood Forever sign is, and he took a picture of it, and then made some sort of comment about it, and he also, after Perthouse was arrested for some fucking reason, he called the cops worried that this man was going to come after him. Because he says that he didn't date Amy, but the rumor is that Amy cheated on Perthouse with Dave Navarro while they were dating, and that's why he would come after him.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
But
Dave Navarro.
But Dave Navarro's PR people states that they never dated. So
he's
anyway.
It's become such a joke.
So if you, and this is my last little piece and we'll talk about this more, but if you or anyone you know is a victim of domestic violence, the National Domestic Violence Hotline offers free and confidential help 24/7, and their number is 1-800-799-7233. And for those of you who are, for those of you who are local, if you or anyone you know is a victim of domestic violence and you need help locally, Haven of Tioga County is here to help you. And their services are also free and confidential. They have a 24-hour rape and abuse hotline at 1-800-550-0447. But they can be reached locally at 570-724-0447. And also, if you're local, please check out Haven's Facebook page to join in future events and gatherings, because in doing so, you help support a local nonprofit organization that has probably helped way more people than you actually know. And probably some of those people are people you know and you just don't know.
So exactly.
And that is my Haven plug.
Thank you.
Yes.
But no, 100%. So true. So no, I was just going to say, I thought you were going to tell me that he got off. So I'm really Mm-mm. relieved that that's not the case.
No, nope,
because I think he's going to get it.
He's convicted. Still in jail.
No, he'll be convicted. There's too much DNA evidence.
They're trying to say that it's contaminated.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's contaminated.
It's not like DNA is new. DNA has been around for 100 years. The prosecution can... I'm not worried. He's going to get convicted.
I think the part that pisses me off, though, is that it's been 3 fucking years.
Yeah, but everything's delayed because of, especially big cases. The only reason that Murdaugh case even happened as quickly as it did is because he requested a speedy trial.
Dumb on his part. Also, speaking of that, that other son needs to be investigated.
Dude!
Why wasn't
Buster.
He... fucking Buster. I think Buster killed the boy.
Buster definitely killed the boy.
He was involved in that 1,002%.
Oh, yeah,
no. And I wouldn't be surprised if he killed his own fucking brother, too. So,
no, Buster.
Two guns.
Buster.
Who's the guy? So,
sorry.
Do you remember the drone footage?
Yes, they were taking the guns out to the truck.
That family friend and Buster.
Yep.
I think that those two are involved in it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, but. I'm just so glad, the way it started, I thought you were going to tell me that, mm-hmm. I think he's going to be convicted.
I hope to. Well, and then he'll get the death penalty if he is. So, I don't feel bad about any of that.
So
they were saying that the argument is it first degree or is it second degree? So was it premeditated?
Oh.
And I think obviously he had a backup plan, because if one, you broke into somebody's house. If you wanted to talk to somebody, why didn't you just go there during the day and knock on the door?
Yeah.
But you broke into her house, you waited for hours with a syringe full of nicotine that is lethal. What were you planning to do?
I think, I don't know, I'm not good at this, but I think because he broke in, that's extenuating, like, it's breaking and entering, which is another, like, a crime on, like...
Well, that's the lying in wait. Like, yeah, they're also right, trying
exactly.
To...
So, like, I think that that's why it has to be first degree, because...
Because he said he broke in and he just waited.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he just showed up, they got into an argument, it was a crime of passion, and he fucking killed her in the... No. Like, you were there with an intent. Like, and it was probably, like, well, I don't know. The way that the roommate made it sound is as soon as she got into the house, like, he fucking pounced on her. So, but again, like, she seemed like an awesome person. Like, I don't know her entire life, and I know in you know, when somebody dies, we only say good things about them. Nobody's fucking perfect, though. But, however, she did really cool things. She worked her fucking ass off. She was helping other women, especially, try to get through, like, navigate through the shit that happens to you while also trying to navigate through her own bullshit, which has got to be awful.
Awful, yeah. No, she, yeah.
And she just, ugh. Yeah. And I just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes, I don't know why it makes me so bad, but it does. Ugh. So hopefully within the next year, like, I can do an update on this and I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen like, Purse House. But
he's going down.
I hope so. Like, because we didn't get happy ending with the fucking Black Widow.
Oh my God, I know, right? Like,
like,
no,
there has to be some justice somewhere.
He's going down. Well, she's probably gonna do some dumb shit again. Like, I have no faith that that woman's not gonna, like, I know she's an old lady now,
no,
but, like,
seriously, I hope the bitch gets cancer.
I'm an old lady now.
Terminal fucking cancer.
Right?
And I hope none of the treatments and pain remedies help her in the way. Is that, I don't mean, like, I shouldn't wish bad things upon people, but to me personally, that's just karma.
Right?
Like, that would be the universe working karmatically.
To say, no, you don't, like no, you you tried this.
You manifested that shit, bitch.
Right?
Like, you spent 4 decades manifesting terminal cancer. Boom, here it is.
Just to go to Florida.
What's so great about Florida?
I have no understanding.
And where did she go? Miami?
I don't know.
Like, Orlando?
I don't know. It doesn't really tell me. I mean... I don't know. I guess Florida's really different than northern London.
Well, if it was, like, NASA, like, Poughkeepsie, isn't it? And, like, Poughkeepsie, NASA is, like, the launch pad.
NASA is in Cape Canaveral?
That, yeah,
Canaveral?
Yeah.
I don't
know. Where the fuck is Poughkeepsie, then?
Poughkeepsie's not in Florida. I'm pretty sure Poughkeepsie's in, like, some Midwestern state.
Oh, so good at the United States geology. Like, which is funny, because when I was a kid, I knew all of the national flags. Like, just to test this, I was in San Antonio with my uncle, and he took me to, I don't know, he was in the Air Force. We went to some fucking base, and there was all of these national flags from all of these countries, and I was able to name them all. It was this stupid fucking party trick I could do in fifth grade.
Like, my fifth grade party trick.
It's like, hey, I know all of the national flags from all the countries. Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I was definitely, like, as a human being that lives in America... I don't want to go to Florida. I don't want to go to Disney. I don't want to go to Florida for any reason whatsoever. I would go maybe to the Keys.
Destin, maybe.
Maybe Miami, and that is it. I don't even want to go there for long. Like, Florida is just like, I am like, no. Because most of Florida is literally like Pennsylvania, but hot.
So, Florida, fun fact, it also has the largest outbreak of AIDS per capita because everybody goes there. And so you run a higher risk of doing something stupid, I guess, and getting AIDS. But
well, it's most of Florida, though, is like, it's just like redneck Pennsylvania, except for like except for Miami, where Disney is, and the Keys. Everything else is like... has been... Like, he has family there. Like, he's been to other parts. Most of Florida is basically just like...
Yeah.
Redneck Pennsylvania.
But hot.
But hot. Exactly.
Carolinas are the same way.
So, like, unless you're, like, going to the... Yeah, I'm like, no,
you have to stay in the rich area or the touristy area.
Yeah.
The Keys are the rich area. The touristy area is Orlando. Miami is, like, the spring break area, which, is, again,
no,
is
I would say
touristy.
Miami is the rich area.
Is it?
Oh,
I've
yeah.
never been.
No, you gotta, like...
The
gotta
only place
to
I wanna go in Florida is just Universal Studios, and I'm gonna do it one time, and then I'm gonna be done with it. And I have no desire to ever go back there again.
I don't even... There's nothing at Universal or Disney that makes me want to go enough.
Harry Potter.
Don't care.
Oh, I do. And now my kids are obsessed, and that
fucking sucks. I mean, they even have Star Wars, and I still don't want
to
go.
I tried to convince Solomon to go to Hawaii in December instead of going to Universal, and he's like, no, we can do that next year. And I'm like, fuck you. Like, it's my money. I'll do what I want. But,
Yep, nope, nothing. There's nothing there that would make me want to deal with all the nonsense about going there. And I get it. I respect people that love their Disney thing, and that's their thing. Like, cool. Like, good on you. Have fun with that. It's just not my thing.
It's not your cup of tea.
No. The amount of money that you would spend to go there, you can go to, like, any European country and see some, like,
it's cool true.
Cultural experiences. But, you know, my kid got stuck with nerd mom, so...
Yeah, but I think she's okay with that.
Yeah, she's pretty all right.
Like, isn't London her, like...
Yeah, she wants to go to London. Although the other day, she said, isn't it in France? And I was like, oh my God, child, seriously? You need to at least get the country right, all right? You can't be obsessed with a place that you don't even know which country it's in. You're 8. Come on.
You can do better. I'm just kidding.
She knows all about animals, though, so...
That's cool.
Animal facts. Just like a tiny little animal fact.
My go-to country that I really want to go to is I would love to go to the Maldives. Yep. I don't even need one of the overwater bungalows, although that'd be ideal, just so I can slide, well, you know, when the, what's that called when the water comes in?
The tide.
Thank you. When the tide's high enough, I can just slide down a slide and go swimming, and that's where I'd fucking stay all day.
Yep.
But I would also be okay just being, like, on the beach and... I'm very pale, so I'll blend in with the sand. No one will see me. I really am that Irish girl tanning meme.
Like, yeah.
I am that meme. And I'll just turn red very quickly. And then I'll be a crab, and it'll be fabulous.
All right. We should let people... I'm sure you've all turned off by now.
They're like, yeah, these bitches are done.
All right. Just,
oh my gosh, that's what I was going to say. The last episode, I messaged you and I was like, I said Arthur Miller was Aquaman.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that was so... First of all, who the fuck's Arthur Miller?
He's an author.
I know. I was just kidding. But, like, I know who he is. But I was like, that is not Aquaman.
No, it's obviously... And you know what? I didn't even catch it. And
neither
like,
did I.
And we had just had a trivia not that long ago where that was a question.
Oh, my God.
And, like, B's got it, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. And, like, I mean, like, and I still didn't catch it. So it's not, it was even, like, not that, like,
yeah.
It was kind of recently in my mind, yeah. So.
And then, like, the Flashpoint is called the Flashpoint Paradox. That's what the movie is based off of. And only because I really love the Justice League Dark. Because they bring in Constantine and Zatanna and, all of these other people into the Justice League, and it's kind of my favorite. So I started watching that again, and then I'm like, that's what it's called, the Flashpoint Paradox.
Are they still going to make a new Constantine movie? I heard that.
I don't know. I hear it, and then it's not, and then I hear it, and then it is. I don't know.
Well, they should.
Maybe we should just do an episode where we talk about movies. Okay. Whatever.
All right.
All right. Your moms love you.
Bye.
Bye.